I'm always grateful for the opportunity to speak to you. I'm very excited about this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. So this is our passage is Psalm 46, if you'd like to turn there. I'd like to encourage everyone this morning with this psalm, Psalm 46. The title of our message is God, Our Mighty Fortress. So we're so thrilled to be able to open the Word this morning, and we'll look into Psalm 46. This psalm is a psalm of the sons of Korah. The psalm encourages us to hope and trust in God and His power and His providence, His gracious presence all around us, especially in the most difficult times. This psalm directs us to give Him the glory for what He has done for us and what He will do for us. We must take comfort and refuge in God, especially when things look very bleak and threatening. I know this is something hard for me in particular, for when trouble comes or hard times hit, I think I have to do more. I have to work harder. I have to fix the problem myself, instead of looking to God, our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, as verse 1 of our passage tells us. A little background on this psalm. The psalm was written during the reign of Jehoshaphat, when several enemies came against Israel. God arose as their strength and help with supernatural intervention in a time of trouble. We see the full story of what had happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 30. We won't go through that whole passage this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, but let me give you a quick highlights of what is happening at this time. A great multitude was coming to attack Jehoshaphat, as we see starting in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 3 says, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea." Verse 4 goes on, "And Judea assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judea, they came to seek the Lord." What did he do? He didn't say, "I will put together an even bigger army, an even bigger multitude to fight them," or think he in his own strength and power would be able to defeat the multitude that was coming for him. No, he prayed. He had all the people gathered together and they prayed. We see what happens and what he does in the following verses, verses 5 through 10. I'll read those in 2 Chronicles 20. "And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, 'O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hands are power and might, so that before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend. And they have lived in it, and have built for you in a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence." And I thought it was very interesting. I looked up what pestilence means, and it literally means pandemic. So how relevant how the word always is. "So whether disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house. And cry out to the Lord in our affliction, and you will hear and save." You will hear and save. The story goes on. As 2 Chronicles goes on, we see the Lord set an ambush against the invading army. So they turned on themselves, destroying each other. Verse 24 says, "When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. Which then takes us to verse 30, where it says, so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. So we see this is what's happening as Psalm verse 46 is written. So this is a wonderful psalm of praise. The Psalm 46, our passage, has been called or titled several things. It is the Psalm of God, our mighty fortress, the Psalm of God, our refuge, the Psalm of God, our present help, the Psalm of triumphant faith, and also the Psalm of confidence. So let's read this psalm together, as we then will look into it. Psalm 46, just 11 verses. Let's read those together. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The psalm inspired the famous hymn written by Martin Luther in 1529. And that hymn is, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. That song has been translated into 183 languages. And it was called the Battle Hymn of the Reformation. It was sung at the funerals of martyrs during the Reformation. And it is said when Luther received any discouraging news, he would say, come, let us sing Psalm 46. Luther said, we sing this psalm to praise. We sing this psalm to the praise of God, because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously present and defends his church and his word against all spirits, against the gates of hell, against the hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin. A mighty fortress is our God. Verse 1 says, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he, amid the flood of moral ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Our God, we see first that our God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength. We talked about this a few weeks ago, about God being our refuge, when we looked into Psalm 16. He is our refuge. He is our secure place to run in times of trouble, a place to resist attack, and a place to be encouraged. A refuge is defined as an escape, a haven, resort, retreat, sanctuary, shelter. Refuge gives the picture of salvation. God is the strong refuge to which we flee and are absolutely safe. We see this many times in Scripture. I'll just quickly go through a few. Don't turn there. I'll read them for you. But a few scriptures that talk about this very thing of God being our refuge. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 3 says, "My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge." Isaiah 25 and verse 4, "For you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. The breath of the ruthless is like a storm against the wall." Psalm 62 and verse 8, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." And then Hebrews 6:18, "So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." So he is our refuge, but he is also our strength. He is our unfailing source of strength. He holds us up when we are weak and beaten down. God is our strength. He is the all-sufficient one. He empowers the weak. God is our unfailing source of strength and encouragement, enabling us to stand strong and bold in times of trouble and fear. And then we read the second verse of "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And that says, "Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle." Again, we see several verses supporting God as our strength. Let me read a few of those to you. There are many. Exodus 15 and verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Psalm 28 and verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him." Psalm 138 and verse 3, "On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased." Isaiah 12 and verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." We see God is our refuge and strength. He is also a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea." Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2 say. So he is our help. He is our very present help. God, our helper, supplies for us all that is needed to triumph in our trouble. He is the one who supplies what is needed. He is our helper and supporter. There are many different translations for "a very present help," and I thought many of these were interesting. Let me read to you some of them that describe or explain a very present help. "An exceedingly ready help in the time of distress. A help in distress soon found. A help in trouble most assuredly found. A help in distress to be found without fail. A help to be found without fail. A reliable help when trouble occurs. Found to be mighty help in trouble. God alone and nothing else is our refuge in the face of calamity of every sort. God is on our side. God is for me." Therefore, God is on my side. So what does that mean? That means we do not fear. Psalm 46, verses 2 and 3 say, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, we will not fear. Even if the earth changes around us, as verse 2 and 3 say, even if we see total transformation, as seen in the language of these verses, the earth gives way, mountains carried away, waters roar and foam. This speaks of everything that can be shaken, will be shaken, and all the kingdoms of this world roaring. Yet we will not fear. Let me read verse 3 of A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And that says, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. We will not fear, for he is with us. Christ is with us. We will not fear, because he is our help in time of trouble. Trouble is a place of distress, fear, confusion, helplessness. It is the personal anguish one endures in adverse circumstances. Trouble is defined as a narrow place, a place of distress, tight place, to be in great agony, to be in great anguish of mind because of an unexpected calamity, to be suddenly seized with fear, to be amazed and confounded, to tremble. The nature of trouble is anything, any situation which is confining. The strong emotional response that one experiences when pressed externally or internally by enemies. The personal anguish one encounters in adverse circumstances. The harassment and torment produced by an enemy. These are all things that produce, that are trouble. We all know what trouble feels like, and we aren't talking about when you get called into the principal's office sort of trouble. We know that in life, the troubles we have all faced. When we find ourselves in a time of trouble, we must cry to God. He hears us. God may not prevent troubles and tragedies, but he enables us to move beyond it. God has not promised us God has not promised us a quiet journey, only a safe arrival. Let me say that again. God may not prevent troubles and tragedies, but he enables us to move beyond it. God has not promised us a quiet journey, only a safe arrival. God understands our trouble and is well acquainted with people in trouble. He is there for us every step of the way. It might not be what we thought. It might not be the answer that we wanted or what we think we should have done in this time, but his will is much better than anything we could possibly come up with. The last verse of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God says this, that word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. What is our response to trouble? Prayer. Prayer is the first response when we find ourselves in trouble. What did Jehoshaphat do when he saw the horde, the multitude coming for him? He prayed. And again, we see there are many, many passages that point this out. Let me read just a few of them to you of our response in trouble. Psalm 19, verse 13. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. O you who lift me up from the gates of death. Psalm 32 and verse 7. You are my hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Psalm 20 and verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God of Jacob protect you. Psalm 50 and verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And then Psalm 107 and verse 6. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. We know where to run when trouble comes. We run to God, the creator of heaven and earth, the Lord of lords and King of kings, the great I am. That is who we run to when trouble comes. We trust in God when facing trouble. We trust God in the dark until the light returns. It has been said, I believe in the sun even when it isn't shining, and I believe in God even when he is silent. And I would say it is our perceived silence, because we know he is always working in and through us. We know we do not face trouble alone. Catherine Marshall said this, crisis brings us face to face with our inadequacy. And our inadequacy in turn leads us to the inexhaustible sufficiency of God. Our God is sufficient in all things and in all ways. We just have to turn to him and trust in him. We must stop looking for external things, our money, our perceived strength, our intelligence. If we depend on these things to help us when we are facing trouble, we will only get deeper and deeper into trouble. Look at our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when facing trouble. He is with us in trouble, and he is with us in triumph. We see in Psalm 46, verses 4 through 11. Let me read those again. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's look at verse 4. That says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Surrounded by a dark and sinful world, the people of God are the city of God. One commentary on this verse said this, the imagery of the river and the streams is reminiscent of the description of the river with its four branches in the passage on the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2, verses 10 through 14. The restoration to the presence of God is likened to a restoration to the Garden of Eden of all those who are members of the city of God. We do not need to fear, but we need to rejoice, because God has made his dwelling with man. The symbolic language used in this psalm shows the river is a metaphor of blessings and restoration. We are with the Most High. The commentary went on to say this, the Most High, even in the Old Testament, affirms that the great king has identified himself with his people. Therefore, they need not fear. God's people will never fall. They will always be assured of his readiness to help them. His acts of unfailing love are renewed each morning. Our God is with us. Don't fear, but rejoice. Our God is with us. to be victorious. We see we shall not be moved. We see this in verses 5 through 7. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earths melt. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is in the middle of our life. And in all the circumstances of life, we shall not be moved. We will not be tossed about. We will not lose our footing. We will not slip. We will not be shaken. God will help us early. Literally, that means at the turning of morning or the critical breakthrough moment when night changes to day. Yes, even though the nations rage and kingdoms will totter, he will not. All he has to do is utter his voice, and the earth melts. We do not fear because we come to verse 7. And verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You ask me why I do not fear? It is because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is why we do not fear. This is incredible news for us. We will not fear. The mountains might be moved into the sea and its waters may roar. The nations may all be at war around us and the kingdoms falling. A worldwide pandemic, the like of which we have never seen in our lifetime, might be raging. There may be political unrest and inflation soaring, but I will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Then we see we will behold the works of the Lord. Our passage, Psalm 46, verses 8 and 9 say, come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. We are admonished to be wise and not irrational. We are exhorted to consider the works of God. Behold the works of the Lord. The works of the Lord include all acts of God in history of salvation, starting in Exodus, conquests, the time of judges, the time of kings. The recollection of the mighty acts of God must be planted deep in our minds as God's people. This also includes his care and protection, his providential rule over his people. If we are wise and not irrational, we will remember and look at the world around us as tokens of God's commitment to his people. Every victory, and yes, every failure, brings his plan and his will into focus for us. Another commentary on this passage said this: his wars and his judgment of the nations have as a final end the removal of evil instigators, troublemakers, rebels, and expressions of hostility in whatever form. The God of peace will make wars cease. The instruments of warfare symbolized by the bow, the spear, and the chariots will become inoperable. Then lastly, we see we shall be still and trust in God. The last two verses, verses 10 and 11 say this: be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still. We are exhorted to be still. Be still is a call for his people to stop doing one thing in favor of something else. The temptation they are facing is implied in verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. So it's implied that we are to be still and not fear. Fear is a great motivator, we have found. It will make us do things we would never think of doing. But if we put people in a situation of fear, all rational thought is gone. We know from the history of Israel, national distress brought the temptation to abandon the one true God and look to the security of political alliances, military strength, and even paganism. We must not think this way or let fear come in and take our focus off of God. Instead of choosing a negative possibility, the people of God must distinguish ourselves by pursuit of holiness. Know that I am God. The knowledge of God includes a factual knowledge about Him, His past acts, and His promises to His people. His people is key. His people are those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord. Yes, we are fallen, sinful people in need of a Savior. We know from the message last week that there is no works we can do in our own strength, in our own self, that would make us good enough people for a holy God. No, it is only through the sacrifice of Christ that we can be acceptable in the sight of God. Because of the cross, because He rose from the dead, and in doing so, He defeated death, and all we have to do is believe in Him, and we can be a child of God. We can have this power that we are talking about in Psalm 46. If you are in Christ, you have no reason or need to fear. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We see that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Now that we are His people, now that we are a child of God, we are called to commit ourselves to the Lord and to seek His refuge, strength, and fortress. Life of faith is lived continually in commitment to God's sovereign rule over the nations, over our lives. Be still and know that I am God. I exhort you today to put away fear, put away anxiety and distrust, and be still and know that I am God. Know that He is our refuge and strength. He is our very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Trouble will come, and when it does, we will be still and know that He is God. And we know this because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, this morning we praise You. For You are the Lord of hosts, and You are with us. You are the God of Jacob. You are our fortress. And Lord, this morning we praise and worship You, for we know we do not need to fear. Lord, we just need to be still and know that You are God. And Lord, we know that You are our strength. You are our refuge. And Lord, You are committed to the watch and protection of Your people. Lord, I pray this morning that we would be a people that would not be given to fear, that we would be a people not given to anxiety or worry. But Lord, we would be a people committed to trust and faith in Christ. For Lord, we know it is only through Christ alone that we're able to sustain. Lord, we know it is only through the great grace that You bestow on us every day that we're able to come and live a Christian life, that we're able to be a light in this world. So Lord, I pray this morning that we would be still and that we would know that You are God. So Lord, we know when trouble comes, and Lord, we know trouble will come. Lord, when trouble does come, Lord, I pray that we will not fear, but we will trust. We'll trust in a mighty fortress who is our God. We pray this in Your name. Amen.